The following is a 6-minute sample of Rough and Tumble. If you would like to enjoy the entire 1-hour audiobook, you can purchase it through my PayHip storefront. Visit markmcneese.com for a direct link. If you're interested in services offered by Wondervox AI, contact me at mark@wondervoxai.com. Rough and Tumble, a dystopian love tragedy, written by Mark McNeese, produced and narrated by Wondervox AI. Copyright, Mademark Publishing. That's how we stay young these days, murder and suicide. Eugene Ionesco. 1. Rough and Tumble were not their names by birth, but that's what everybody called them. They'd been together so long most people thought they were brothers, or lovers from a very young age. One did not appear without the other, as if tethered by an invisible cord. Rough could not venture more than a few feet without Tumble coming close behind him, or vice versa. A deadly matched set. Rough was the taller of the two, and while not by much, his thin frame made him seem towering over his shorter friend. Rough had suffered acne sometime in his teens, and the craters left on his face were, like his ambiguous sexuality, something one did not acknowledge, for fear he might take insult and end one's life on the spot. He wore his hair long, tied back in a ponytail, sometimes held in place with a rubber band, sometimes with string. His eyes were muddy brown but not dull, more like an alligator's eyes floating just above the surface of the water, watching for inattentive prey. Oddly, his clothes were always freshly cleaned, his jeans kept free of bloodstains, and his t-shirts bleached to a bright white. He finished off the look with a shiny silver crucifix hung around his neck on a sterling chain, complete with tiny suffering Jesus, palms nailed to the cross. It said he was a Christian boy, or that he imagined himself to be one, though the full extent of it would never be known since he could not be asked about his faith any more than he could be asked what it was like to have a pockmarked face. To be in his presence was to be in the room with a venomous snake that always kept the advantage. Tumble, on the other hand, was downright jovial. He'd never shed his considerable baby fat, spurting up in adolescence with plenty left to spill over the sides of his pants and leave him with a belly hanging over his belt. His sense of humor had not advanced since childhood, and he delighted in telling knock-knock jokes and asking people to pull his finger while he farted. He wore thick glasses with a prescription that belonged to the person he'd stolen them from, and they had never done much for his vision. He had to squint to see properly, peering through his black horn-rimmed glasses scratched from years of use, the lenses magnifying his eyes so he looked like a flat-faced fish. He wore his hair cut to stubble that he shaved himself with a trimmer he'd taken from a dead man's dresser, and while his clothes, too, were clean, they were permanently wrinkled, as if he slept in them. His one unmistakable similarity to Ruff was that they were both men of casual violence. A juvenile joke or a dirty limerick could easily be followed by a knife thrust into the chest of the person who did not laugh. Consequently, everybody laughed at Tumble's jokes, except Ruff, who would come out and say, "That's dumb," or, "I heard that when I was a kid, what are you, 8 years old?" He was the one person who felt no need to humor his partner. Had it not been for him, Tumble would be alone in the world and probably long dead. Ruff was the boss. He had no obligation to humor his other half by offering up a fake laugh, nor was he afraid in the least. They lived in a part of the city called the Slopes, due to its gradual downward slant to the river. The Slopes was a large, desolate swath that had fallen to decay some decades ago, well before a time Rough and Tumble could remember. The city itself was divided into two sections. The Slopes, which had originally taken up the western corner of the urban island, but had since spread like some necropolis pushing slowly but insistently inland, and the Eastward, Eastward to some, Easty to others, what was left of civilization in the city, or so it liked to think. A large enclave of people who still had some semblance of power, literally and figuratively. Power to turn their lights and ovens on at will, power to maintain a vicious security force, power to keep the Slopes on the other side of the razor wire, then pull the wire up before an inevitable population surge, move it a few blocks in, and erect the barrier again. The result was obvious and simple. There would eventually be no Eastward left as it shrunk itself to a point of extinction. Time was running out for the Eastward, and everybody knew it, yet still they sent their unwanted, their criminals and social detritus, over the fence to breed and swell the slopes still more. Did they not understand they were feeding the monster waiting to eat them? It had been this way all their lives. Abandoned buildings, long dead streetlights, shops no one had shopped in for two generations. Ruff could remember his mother telling him, so far as he remembered her at all, it had always been this way, though his imagination told him otherwise. He used to close his eyes as a youngster and see the buildings new, their architecture something to behold. He imagined people walking the now fractured sidewalks, gentlemen tipping their hats to one another and to the ladies. He could see a sky not dense with haze, and cars not rusted out and stripped of every detail. And while the grime of the place was all he'd ever known, he could still peer at a boarded-up warehouse and imagine the hum and the sound of it as it had once been. Tumble was not given to reverie. He had no interest in fantasies of a great metropolis. When Ruff would stop and stare up at the height of an empty building, marveling at what men had once achieved, Tumble would fidget impatiently, wanting to move on. "Come on," Tumble would say. "It's getting dark." "You afraid of the dark?" "Dark don't scare me, Ruff. We do our best work then." The bloated little man had a point, Ruff admitted. Neither of them rose before noon. They would prowl most of the night, looking for prey and easy coin. Stumblebums passed out in doorways whose pockets could be picked without bloodshed, though that was neither lucrative nor fun. They much preferred confrontations with their fellow thugs, some of whom still thought they could resist. Pride was a funny thing among criminals. Most of the time they surrendered their treasure, which they had invariably stolen from someone else, after a show of force, having refused just long enough to save face without losing their lives. Sometimes they did not, and a beat down would follow. If they were still defiant, they would be left dead, most often in a pool of blood spreading from a slit gut. Ruff and Tumble did not hesitate to kill when it came to it, but they were violent, not bloodthirsty, and they considered it a good night when they had not left another corpse in an alley no one would remove. This has been a sample of Ruff and Tumble, written by Mark McNeese, produced and narrated by WonderVox AI.